The Burrows of Berea is a conversational podcast.
We study the Bible and we talk about it.
Not all of us are of the same faith.
And one of us doesn't have a faith.
But we still love one another, and we're going to continue to talk about these things.
The things we believe in and the things we believe about what we read in the Bible. Not all of these are necessarily true. Some of it is opinion and speculation. Thank you for
listening and speculating with us.
There you go. That was good. Yes.
You are listening to the Burrows of Berea.
Welcome back to the Burrows of Berea. I am Rick Welch, and I am in the studio all by my lonesome, but not without some guests. I have a really exciting show for you today. My friend Eric Ogier, you've heard his testimony on here before. You've probably seen him speak on different places, especially on YouTube. And Eric went to, I believe it, Eric, was it Kenya you said?
I did. I went to Kenya. It was just in January and came back in February.
Yeah, so he was there while he was there on the last day of his trip. He met Christopher Beth, who is our the main focus guest here today. Christopher Beth, I was so impressed with this when I finally saw it. So just let me give you a little bit of background here. Christopher Beth is the founder, chief storyteller, and director of the Bucket Ministry, a nonprofit sharing God's love through the gift of safe, clean drinking water. A former business consultant, Christopher felt called to ministry after a 2012 mission trip to the Brazilian Amazon, where he witnessed the devastating effects of unclean water. Hearing God's call to help them, he founded the Bucket Ministry in 2015, which has since expanded to over 20 countries, providing water filters and the gospel to those in need. Christopher lives near Dallas, Texas, with his wife, Sherry. They have two grown children, Savannah and Griffin, and several grandchildren. So welcome to the Burrows of Berea, Christopher Beth.
Rick, thank you so much. It's so good to be on here with you and Eric.
Yeah, I really appreciate you taking the time out. It looks like you have a very, very busy ministry, which is incredible. And I want to let you talk about it, but I want to start by saying this. First, I watched these videos when you went into these like slums in places like Nairobi. And I saw where they were getting the water. And on that video, you would talk about how you went on that 2012 mission trip. And how that one woman looked at you and said, would you like something to drink? And while you were sitting there, you were like, sure. And so she literally got up, walked down to the river and filled up a cup with that river water. And you suddenly heard just the Lord say, help them. Tell me about that moment. Like this is just it's a profound story, guys.
Well, thank you, Rick. And, yeah, you teed that up very nicely. So I went on that trip to basically chaperone my daughter. I had only been walking with Jesus 3 or 4 years before that. I didn't go because I had a love or compassion for the Brazilian people. And frankly, I just went to make sure my kid came home. And I think as fathers, we can all appreciate that. But while I was there, I saw things I couldn't reconcile. And one of them that I wasn't prepared for, because I think I've lived a pretty average life, but compared to most of the world, it's been privileged when it comes to clean, safe drinking water. And if I was thirsty before this day in the Amazon, I just would have went to my refrigerator with a cup, put that cup underneath the filter and got water and not even thought about it. I had no idea that there was such a thing as a world water crisis. I had no idea that people drank out of rivers, lakes, and streams in the volume that they do. So I'm in this house, and this little Brazilian woman in 2012, this little Brazilian woman looks at me, and I'm just this giant, sweaty American compared to her, right? And yeah. She said, are you thirsty, through my interpreter? And I'm like, yeah, I'm thirsty. I'm looking around the house for a refrigerator or a water cooler or a case of Ozarka or something. And there's nothing. So I'm wondering, where's she going to get this water from? And she goes into her kitchen and she gets two cups. They're cracked, mismatched, and she walks out of her home onto this little dock area. And I'm like, where's the water cooler out there? I mean, there's no refrigerator out there. Right. And sure enough, she bends down and she puts these two cups in the river and fills them. And I remember standing in the doorway, Rick, and I was like, what is this crazy woman doing? Surely she doesn't expect me to drink that. And sure enough, she hands one cup to me, one cup to my interpreter. So here's where the gravity of the situation kind of sits in, right? Is number one, I'm in shock that this is even a thing. But now I realize that she thinks this is normal. And that's where the gravity of the situation started to sit in on me. And then I'm sitting here thinking, oh my gosh, I just told her how thirsty I was. So what am I going to do? And if I drank it, I spend the rest of the trip in the bathroom. If I don't, she's going to think I'm rude because I just told her how thirsty I was. So as I'm pondering this decision, I look over at my interpreter out of the corner of my eye, and he's wagging his finger no. And so now I realize I can't drink it. But again, I'm stuck with the thought that this is normal for them. Yeah. How is this even possible? I mean, it's crazy to me. And this is in 2012, but still, even at that point, I'm like, how is this even possible? So as I'm holding this glass of dirty water, and there's things swimming in it. I can see things moving in this water. As I'm holding this glass of dirty water, I heard something I'd never heard before. And I'm not proud of this, but prior to this day, if somebody would have told me, hey, I got a word from the Lord today, or God gave me some instruction today, or God spoke to me in a dream. This was my reaction, Rick. And again, I'm not proud of it. I'm like, really?
Yeah.
He stopped his day to have a conversation with you. Come on.
Yes. And I'm the same way. The same way. I understand what you mean. I'm not proud of it either.
But I'm holding this glass of water. And I've got this couple in front of me. I've got my interpreter beside me and the boat driver behind me. And everybody in this room, except for me and my interpreter, speak only Portuguese. And as I'm holding this glass of water, I clearly heard two words. And God said, help them. And he said it in a way, Rick, that I will tell you, I looked around behind me to figure out who said it.
Right.
Now, after I heard that, it came with no instruction. I mean, I'm hopeful that it's help them by giving them $50, help them by cooking them dinner, help them by repairing their boat. But it came with no instruction. So I didn't know what help them meant. So that home in 2012 is where I like to say God breathed life into the bucket ministry, showed us the problem. He showed us the people were drinking water from a river. He showed us hopelessness. He showed us people that were far away from him. And then also in that house in 2012, he showed me why he created me.
Yeah, that. I heard that in that video, and not only were these people far away from him, but they were far away from you, far away from civilization. It said that after you flew from Dallas to Brazil, then you got on a boat and you rode on a boat for 18 hours to get to this place.
18 hours winding through little bitty dark tributaries of the Amazon basin. You know, we're going past giant iguanas in branches, and we're seeing anacondas crossing the river, and piranha and parrots, and you know, like a National Geographic episode is really what it looked like. And so it took us 18 hours one way just to meet the people in that house that we met that day,
which I think sounds like something that the Lord would do. Help them. And you know how this is going to be a difficult undertaking. Now, so take me from there and tell me how you, like, you didn't know what you were supposed to help, right? So take me from there to this bucket ministry. Like, how does this happen?
Well, that's where it gets super crazy. And honestly, I have no background in ministry. And like I said, I'd only been walking with the Lord 3 or 4 years before that. So I wouldn't even say I had a lot of experience with church, mm-hmm. but I was convinced that Help Them had something to do with clean water. So when I got back to the U.S., I started researching the problem. The very first thing I did was call the team doctor that was on the boat with us, and I asked him a question. I said, Dr. Casey, of all the people that you treated that week that we were on the Amazon River, can you tell me how many people you treated that had some sort of symptoms from drinking unclean water? And because I had no idea the scale of the problem. And Dr. Casey goes, oh, Chris, that's easy. All of them. And I'm like, what? I said, you were treating like 100 people a day. And he goes, they all had symptoms of waterborne disease. And I go, Dr. Casey, how can that be? And he's like, Chris, they're drinking from a dirty river. What do you expect? So then at that point, I start understanding the gravity of this situation a little bit more. And I start researching. I'm trying to make myself an expert in everything water related. And I'm looking up statistics and I'm going to websites like UNICEF and the World Health Organization and just trying to figure out how big this problem is. And I start reading facts like there's 785 million people around the world that don't have access to clean, safe drinking water, which is crazy because there's 331 million people in the United States.
Right.
So more than twice the population of the United States doesn't have something that I've taken for granted my entire life. So as I'm researching, now I'm convinced that Help Them has something to do with water. So I start researching water wells, biosand filters. There's a plethora of awesome water filters out there. But I knew because the water in the Amazon basin rises and falls 30 to 40 feet throughout the year, whatever we used had to be portable, it had to be cheap, and it had to be simple because of the education level of the people that I hoped to help. So I start buying a plethora of filters, still got a lot of them in my garage, and start testing them. And one day, my wife and our kids were at a camping supply store in Dallas. They were looking for shoes or backpacks or something, and I was in the water filter aisle. And I come across this filter made by a company called Sawyer Products out of Tampa, Florida. And on the package, it advertised that this thing could be connected to a bucket and simply using the gravity of water in a 5-gallon bucket will push the water through a hose and eventually through this filter. And I thought, man, this seems like a perfect solution. It's simple, it's cost effective, and it looks like I can teach a 5-year-old how to use this thing. So I bought a couple of these filters, brought them home. And after a little bit of investigation, once I got home, reading the lab tests on these and reading up on Sawyer, I went to my wife and I said, hey, we're going to conduct a family experiment. And we're all going to drink from Lake Ray Hubbard in Rockwall, Texas for a couple days and see what this filter does. And my wife, who's the nurse, is like, what? And I think you guys that are married can appreciate that. Fast forwarding that story, we all lived, and by the end of the week, we could not tell the difference if the water was the same temperature as the bottle of bottled water in our water cooler in our house. We couldn't taste any difference. And we all lived. So I thought, man, this has got to be the solution. So that's where we and how we found the filter that we use now. But Sawyer Products has become more than a partner. And we've tested a multitude of other filters. And there's a lot of great ones. but there's not a lot of great ones that want to advance the gospel of Jesus Christ, like my friend Kurt from Sawyer Products does. And this filter was originally made for camping and backpacking, but Kurt, he's a kingdom man, and he believes that his filter can end the world water crisis and it can grow God's kingdom at the same time.
Wow.
Yeah, and just based on some of the numbers I saw from your website, it seems like you guys are well on your way. You really are. It never even crossed my mind that going into these places around the world and, you know, giving them a solution to a real life problem is also a great way to introduce Christ to them. And wow, I mean, that would just, it was incredible. So
let me tell you real quick about that part of it. And I think you're going to be interested in this. Most of the people we serve have never seen what clear water looks like, which for me as a Westerner, I even catch myself sometimes saying that and thinking about that. But most of the people we issue water filters to have never seen clear water. So when they see that water come out of the filter, they are more than excited to listen to whatever we want to tell them or teach them. If we want to teach them ping pong, they are all ears. If we want to teach them auto mechanics, they'll sit there for 6 hours because they know they're going to get something that is going to change their family's life.
Mm-hmm. No doubt.
Yeah, that's incredible. So I'm going to sidestep. I want to ask you, Eric. So Christopher has not explained exactly what this is. It's called a bucket ministry, but I don't want you to tell him much about the invention here, but I want you to tell me like what it was like for you when you first saw this.
Thanks, Rick. You know, whenever I got the opportunity to go to Kenya, even before I went to Kenya, months, I knew I was going, you know, back in August of last year. And I was talking with Karen about it. And I said, hey, I'm going to Kenya. And she didn't even ask when or where or how are you going to get this accomplished. I said, she just said, okay. And then about a month before we went, she goes, Eric, I haven't really heard you talk much about your trip coming up to Kenya. And I said, you know what? Unlike any other mission trip that I'm going on, I'm just so relaxed. I'm not really expecting anything, but I just wanted to be used during our time. So we went with a group of us here from our company, and we did a medical mission trip. And we were up in the Katali area, which is north of where Nairobi is. And we had to actually take another plane from Nairobi to another little spot there and then drive from there to Katali. So we spent the majority of our time up in Katali. And then the last day that we were coming back, right before we were going to take our long trip back home, our leader there that was helping us get things done, he says, hey, we're going to stop off in Nairobi and we're going to help this ministry. And I had no idea what I was walking into. All I knew got up early that morning and they just said, just get ready because you're going to be walking through another slum. And I said, no big deal. I'm all in. And we get to a little church there we drive from Nairobi and it took us, I don't remember, it seemed like it took us forever to get from where we were staying to the slum there in Nairobi. And Chris is going to have to help me with the name of it. I still can't, you know, being a Texas boy, I still can't say all the names properly. But we pulled up in this little area and like Chris is saying, this is not America. This is the down and dirty area, which you think of as you can imagine there. And we pull up into this church area and we get introduced to some brothers and sisters in the Lord from the Nairobi area. And immediately they started singing and we went into praise time with them. And I knew at that time, this day was not going to be the same. And then I was set down and given four or five of these buckets, and still I didn't know anything about what we were doing, except we knew that we were going to build some of these buckets. So I am hands-on already, Rick, with a 5-gallon bucket that already had a pre-drilled hole in it.
It's a 13/16 hole, Drew J.
Yeah. So I get handed this bag that says Sawyer on it and some instructions. And I'm told to take out the syringe and put the syringe in the bucket and then put these plastic nuts on there and then put the filter on there and hang it and get it ready. And we put together 150 buckets in about an hour, maybe an hour and a half. And
wow.
then the people started coming in. They did the demonstration like Chris said. And then I got to go sit down with the local missionaries there, and Chris can explain that a little bit better than I can. But I got to see them engage with the locals there. They were collecting some information from them, some demographic information, and then they were sent on their way with their buckets. And then after that a little bit, then they said, hey, Eric, you're going to be teamed up with a couple of the local missionaries, you and this other young lady. And then you're going to go to homes that have already had the buckets delivered. And they just said, you know, you're just going to need to be careful while you're out. And again, I wasn't expecting anything except just listening and absorbing. So we go into the slum area and then we enter into one of the homes. And this home is probably 8x8 in diameter, Rick. And then there's this young lady with a little boy, and the missionary, the local missionary that is, in, I think, associated with the bucket ministry employed there. And he, again, starts going through the gospel with them and then making sure that they know how to use the bucket, and then started an entire discipleship program there with that young lady and that little boy. And as I went through the day, Rick, I thought, I don't know much about this bucket ministry group, but I want to find out more. And then I found out that they're in my backyard in Dallas.
Yeah.
They are an hour and a half away from me. And as soon as I hit the ground back at home, I shot Chris an email and said, Chris, I was just on a mission trip to Kenya. Whatever you're doing, I want to be a part of it. And I want to know how to get the word out. And that's where we are today. And you know me, Rick. You yes. know my heart of where we want to be. I God has put us here. We may have a lot of different things of knowledge in our head whenever it comes to scripture and theology, but I haven't been a part of anything like this that is this exciting, that is getting the word of God out, spreading the gospel, and not only just it's not just a salvific message. It is an evangelism message coupled with discipleship. That's not separated. It is just full on Jesus. And like I said, with my testimony that I got back here to the States, and I tell everybody, you know, here in America, we need Jesus on Sundays and then maybe afterlife. We think about that.
Right.
But Monday through Saturday, you know, we have all of our toys and all of our other things that fill up our time. And we don't have time for discipleship. We don't have time to be in God's word. But I'm telling you, over there in Nairobi and the other parts of Kenya that I was a part of, it's 24/7 every single day. It's talking about Jesus, people coming to have a relationship with Jesus Christ, and immediate discipleship. And everywhere I saw over there, and the bucket ministry fits all of those and checks all of those boxes for me. And then, you know me, I wanted to say, Rick, you got to meet these folks. I want you to get them on your podcast. And I met Chris about, what has it been, 2 weeks now, Chris? and I'm
a whirlwind.
I'm
Eric,
a champion.
Eric
for
doesn't
them.
Slow down either. So,
in the land of the free, where dreams are born and legends are made, an unsettling phenomenon lurks in the shadows. Join us on the Burroughs of Berea podcast for our groundbreaking series, All American Cults. Discover the untold stories behind America's most enigmatic cults, from the mesmerizing charisma of their leaders to the unquestioning loyalty of their followers. What drives these communities to the brink of devotion and desperation? We delve into the heart of these cults, exploring their unique rituals, their alluring promises, and the chilling truths that lie beneath. Are these cults a reflection of our deepest fears, or simply a mirror of our society's vulnerabilities? Tune in to the Burroughs of Berea podcast, All American Cults.
Coming March 17th, only on Patreon. Visit www.patreon.com/the Burroughs of Berea for more details. That's www.patreon.com/theburrowsofberea.
So, Christopher, I have to ask, just by hearing Eric's story about walking in to this area, this village, this wherever he's at, and then he hears he's going to this place and he starts putting together these buckets, would you tell our audience why the bucket? Obviously, you said it has to be, you know, cheap and effective. Tell me about this bucket and tell me the idea that you came up with and how you were able to turn this into what I consider like a life-saving device for probably an entire village.
Yeah. And again, Rick, there's a lot of water filtration options out there, and there's a lot of wonderful ones, but there's not a lot that are this simple and this effective. So the Sawyer filter itself is made from technology that comes from kidney dialysis. It's called hollow fiber membrane technology. And the difference in this filter is the pore size that allows the clean water to go through and trap the contaminants on the outside is an absolute 0.1 micron, which for us non-science people means it traps bacteria and everything bigger. So the filter itself, the technology is very, very effective. But I can teach a 5-year-old or a 95-year-old how to use and how to care for this filter. And it's got a lifespan of over 20 years. So when we start to think about providing hope to a family, and we want one of these filters in every single home in the areas where we are serving, and I'll explain why in just a minute. But when we think about putting this inside a home, we have to put something in there that's going to be able to be used and is sustainable and it's long lasting. And the technology does not require an engineer to run it. It's very simple, very basic. And basically, if you can use a 5-gallon bucket in any capacity, you can use this filter. It's literally that simple. So the solution to improving the health physically and spiritually of families, it is very, very simple. And it's nothing that had to be invented, right? I'm a firm believer that all the questions that we could possibly want to ask have already been answered. We see that in scripture. There's nothing new underneath the sun. We just have to find the solution. This solution existed in the form of a tool for campers and backpackers, and we're just repurposing it for a deeper, longer-lasting use. So when we put these into homes, we give them to the homeowner. It ends up costing us about $50 per family to give them clean, safe drinking water for over 20 years, which is ridiculous to think about, because if you've been to Chick-fil-A recently and tried to buy even 2 people food, you're at $50 right there alone. And so it's a little crazy that the solution is simple and it's inexpensive. But again, when we give these to the family, they come with 2 rules for the family. The first rule is you got to promise to care for it like we taught you. Second rule is you have to promise to let one of our indigenous missionaries or pastors in your home 3 times for the first 2 months to make sure the filter's working properly and you're caring for it properly. So what that does is that filter acts as a key that opens a door that's previously been locked to a relationship.
Right.
And when the missionaries enter the home, and again, I should clarify, everyone gets this filter, regardless of their social class, their economic class, what they believe, what is their religion. Everyone gets this filter regardless if they want to hear about Jesus. So first of all, we never leverage the filter for the gospel, but we use the filter as a tool to build relationships with people and hopefully earn the right to share the gospel and earn the right to start teaching discipleship lessons. So here we are. We've got a filter in every home. The missionary knocks on the door. He said, "Hey, I'm Pastor Chris. I'm here to check on your filter." And in 13 years, no one has ever denied us access to check on the filter when there's a filter in their home. So that gives the missionary access into the privacy and security of someone's home. They check on the filter, and as they're checking on the filter, they're having a conversation. And that conversation is, "Hey, what kind of work do you do? How many kids do you have?" And they just start to build the friendship. And then at some point, there's a transition where the missionary will ask, "Hey, do you know who Jesus is?" Or it might be a little more nebulous of a question, where they'll start to assess the spiritual nature of the family or whoever's in the home that day. So we're using the filter to address a major physical need. Everybody needs clean water. Nobody is arguing that. But we're also using the filter to address a major spiritual need, because frankly, there's people that have clean water that are relegated to hell every single day. Mm. Fact. Right. So we want to use the filter as a tool to redirect traffic from the bad place up in heaven. And right. And that's how we do what we do in the home. So that in-home follow-up becomes kind of the most important thing that we do. But the filter acts as the gateway for that, that gets the missionaries into the homes. And some people don't want to hear anything about Jesus, and that's okay. Because as we see in scripture, what Paul describes, sometimes you just got to dust off your clothes and move on. Right. And everybody gets to keep their filter regardless if they want to hear about Jesus. But we hope, and that's our goal, that we get to tell them about Jesus. As we see that as our identity as Christ followers.
Yeah. So first of all, thank you for putting in so much effort and for answering the call that our Father gave you that day. That sounded like an audible voice and you couldn't see. So thank you for answering it. I'll ask you this later. I'm very curious what your daughter thought of that after you got back from the mission trip and then you're set on this life-changing path. You can thank your daughter for asking to go on that mission trip, right? Think about that. She wanted to go on a mission trip, and how many people are getting clean water today because dad wanted to chaperone and make sure that she was safe? What an awesome story. The thing that I want for our audience to know is, how can they get involved? Because you've got this really cool way that you've set it up to where, like, I'm gonna do the give and get. Like, I'm going to do that because I'm going to buy one for someone that's out there, and I'm going to get one. I'm going to give it to one of my employees, or I'm going to give it. Like, we had a hurricane here in Western North Carolina. It would have been awesome to have had that bucket here for some people, because there was no access for clean water for 2 or 3 days until some of that stuff got trucked in here. So, no, we're not a third world country, but it certainly felt like it for a couple days, you know? And that was awful. I can't imagine living like that every day. So how can my audience or anybody that is within earshot of this podcast get involved?
Probably the simplest way, Rick, is to start your journey on the website, thebucketministry.org. And we really have 4 simple ways to get involved. And first one and most important to us is to join our prayer team. We have an intercessory prayer team of probably 150 people now that pray for the organization daily. They pray for the needs. They pray for the missionaries. They pray for the donors that are allowing us to do this work. And so that would be a great big one for those prayer warriors out there, is to join the prayer team. Then we run anywhere from 6 to 8 to 10 expeditions per year that we go into active mission fields to allow people to be part of where God is working and to see how he's at work. So going on a trip would be an option. Then obviously we talked about giving, and it costs us about $50 to provide a family in most countries life-saving clean water through the water filter, follow-up visitations, a Bible, and discipleship. And then lastly, storytelling is a big part of what we do. And this is why I'm so excited with meeting Eric specifically, is he had this experience. He saw it. He came back on fire and he wanted to tell everybody about it. I don't know how many people he told about us before he and I actually even met. I think it was dozens. Yeah. And so the last part to engage with us is we'd love people that want to tell other people about what God's doing through a water filter. We don't want you to tell them about Chris or Chris's story, right? We want you to tell them about what God's doing through a water filter and how he's rescuing his lost people through a water filter. Mm-hmm. And it could mean that you host some friends at your house. One of us comes over to introduce the idea. It could mean that you have a bigger event and invite a couple hundred friends. And it allows us to tell the story, because what we believe at the bottom of our heart is our job is not to ask for money, not to ask for help. Our job is to tell the story and tell God's story and tell it righteously and authentically and let him go to work in people's hearts.
Yeah, that's
amazing. So those would be the greatest ways to get involved. And it all starts on the website again, thebucketministry.org.
Those who are listening, in the show notes, I'm going to have that link as well as some other links that Chris's ministry or Christopher's ministry has sent for me that you can click on, so that you can learn and understand more about this ministry itself. So, Eric, you have you're back home. You're on fire. You want to get things going. You want to get the news out. So, what's in your head? Like, what do you want to get involved as many? But are you talking about, like, are you wanting to take this baby nationwide?
You bet. And it's because I think here in America, we've, especially within Christendom, we'll talk about that since that's the most close to us. You know, we're as people that will attend church on a regular basis on a Sunday, and then they go about their week. This is a way in which a family, a group of people, like Chris has said, to be involved in foreign missions, because they're not just in Africa. They're in other locations, and I'll let Chris share about that. You know, I see the impact, Rick, of what they did in one of the slums called Kibera. And I think, Chris, I'll let you kind of pick it up from there in just a second, but I think they've saturated that entire slum, and I'll let him talk about the numbers. And then what's happened with that, Rick, is not only have people received clean drinking water, but what's happening, it's transforming an area. Mm-hmm. Crime is going down. Healthcare is being introduced into those areas. The biggest issue with healthcare there is probably the issues that come from the drinking water that's been contaminated, and it causes diarrhea within the families, and then that causes other issues to go along with it. Those rates have dropped because of what they've done. It's amazing what happens when the gospel of Christ goes forth, and what I've seen through the Bucket Ministry, how it truly changes a culture, Rick.
Yes.
And we need a culture change here in the United States. There's no doubt. It's not going to, our problems are not going to be resolved by who's in the White House or what, you know, political party that you're associated with. It's aligning with King Jesus and his kingdom and his righteous rules of his kingdom, and how to get the gospel out of way that Jesus says, here are my terms in which you enter the kingdom. And that's what's happening in areas like Kibera and these other areas of what Chris is doing. So yeah, I'm on fire. I don't know how I'm going to do it. I think I feel like Chris, whenever he got the call of help them, I feel like I'm at that stage of the game. I have no idea what the Lord could do or would do. And if I can just play a part of being a storyteller and being a monthly donor to make sure that I know that at least every month a new bucket's going to a new home, If that's all that the Lord allows me to do, then I'll be satisfied with that. I want to be a part of it, and I look forward to going on more of the expeditions and some other opportunities that Chris and the Bucket Ministry has.
Yeah, that you had mentioned Kibera, and Christopher, if you would, you know, just share with the fact that you guys not only saturated it, but the way in which you learned just how many people were actually in Kibera. I was fascinated by the way that you did it and how you actually did saturate that area. Can you explain to the audience what I'm talking about?
Yeah, so Kibera is a very large slum in the middle of Nairobi, Kenya. Nairobi, Kenya is a modern city, 6 million people. And smack dab in the middle of that city is 3 square miles that this informal settlement called Kibera sits in. And Kibera is notorious. Most people consider it one of the largest slums in the world and maybe the biggest. And we know that's it's certainly one of the largest, but it's not the largest. Because as God called us there, at some point we had to know how many houses were there. And in order to know how many houses are there, we had to go door to door and count them. So we sent a team of 60 missionaries. Took them 4.5 months to knock on every door, have conversations with the homeowners, put a GPS pinpoint on every home in that place. And thus we know that there are 81,777 homes and roughly 408,000 people. Every single one of them created in God's image, every single one of them without access to clean, safe drinking water, and many of them far from God. So once we knew that how many homes were there, then we could develop a budget to try to affect a change in this place. And we had no idea what that change was going to be. We thought there would be a positive change with the water condition. There would be a positive change with the gospel. We had no idea what the ripple of that was. So after 3 years of working there with 100 indigenous missionaries and pastors, that 100% of them were Kenyan, 98% of them lived in the Kibera slum itself. So we had neighbors ministering to neighbors. At 3 years after that, we completed that campaign with the very last water filter going out December 2024. And that was about a $4.8 million campaign to deliver hope to every single home, and where we saw over 22,000 people come to faith that we know about. We have no idea the ones that we did not witness. And we discipled, we taught over 450,000 discipleship lessons in homes with this team of 100 missionaries and pastors. And we hear things like the churches are growing so much that they no longer have room and they need to add on to the churches. We hear things like medical clinics are consolidating and there's not enough walk-in traffic to have all the clinics, so they're consolidating down. We have village elders that tell us that they can tell that people are nicer. The crime has gone down, that there's no more purse snatchings. The incidence of domestic violence within married couples has gone down. And just these radical ripples that have come from this work that has happened there, that God has done, is the immeasurables that we did not even consider were possible. And because of that, and because of that success, we started praying, where are we going to move that team to when we're done? Because that team is got the most reps. They have distributed the most water filters. They've shared the gospel more than any one unified team with 81,000 families over 3 years. They've taught more discipleship lessons, and we didn't want them to go away. So this place that Eric was talking about that he visited just a few weeks ago is called Kawangwari. It's another slum that's about 20 minutes from Kibera. And while we thought it was smaller, we also started out by counting that one. And after we finished counting, we realized it's 152,000 homes, so 1.5 times the size of Kibera. And which, that's super big, man. I mean, holy cow, that is that's a giant project and way bigger than the Bucket Ministry. But here's what I know. I deeply love this quote from Henry Blackaby, and where he says, "Watch and see where God is working, and join Him in His work." And I believe sometimes for us from the Western world, the easiest way to see where God is working is financially, because we're so wrapped up in the world, and so Kawangware, this 152,000 home project, it will cost us about $8.3 million to finish it in 4 years.
Wow.
We will need 150 missionaries to do that. And I mean, I don't even think I can write out $8.3 million. That's so much money, I can't even fathom that, Rick. But here's what I'm so excited to tell you. Watch and see where God is working and join Him in His work. God has already given us 4.3 million of that 8.3 million before we started the campaign January 2nd.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
That's how I know He is working there, and we are supposed to be there to join Him in His work.
Wow. That's incredible.
Rick, we need to plan. We need to go out there. Let's you and I go out there. You need to see it. You need to be boots on the ground. So,
okay, you know,
get your passport ready because I'm going to take you out.
Just so you know, Christopher. Just so you know, this is something that Eric loves to do. He likes to call me and say, "Let's get going, Rick." And so I'm going to be coming into your neck of the woods next month, actually, for they call a Servolution Blitz, where they go out and they freely help people in the community work on their homes and do things. I'm very excited.
Love it.
But after the hurricane, Servolution sent relief to my area, and we're there in Texas, and here we are in Western North Carolina. So although they didn't expect me to owe them, I owe them a very big debt of gratitude for what they did for us. So I know what it's like be on the receiving end, you know, of something like that. Now I've experienced it. Soften my heart to it. It really has. And I'm like, wow. So Eric's going to win, and I'll probably end up going for sure. So on a side note, before we finish up this, how does this affect your family? You weren't a missionary. You weren't over something like this. So what's that all about? And is your daughter, is she proud of the fact that all this happened?
Well, first of all, I honestly thought I was going to retire from the business world and just go fishing a lot. I really never saw any of this coming, nor did my family. And I am extremely blessed right now because my wife is working actively within the ministry, and my daughter works part-time alongside us in our children's communication area. And my son works full-time as our communication director. So I'm blessed to work every single day with my family. So they have seen Dad 1.0, and now they've seen Dad 2.0. And I think that in amongst some of my other challenges with priorities, I do think that they are proud to be part of this work and to be able to say every single day they get to help people know who Jesus is. And it's one of the coolest things in the world, going into an office and being able to serve the King with your family.
Yeah. Amen. Yeah, that's amazing. Well, Eric, do you have any final thoughts you'd like to share before we wrap this up?
You know, Rick, I want to tell you thank you for, you know, your time and offering your your opportunity through the podcast, and you know, I've grown to love you and Holly, and the rest of the crew there at the Burroughs of Berea, and looking forward to having you come down. But, you know, I'll just say this as a kind of a wrap up for, at least for me, you know, we can do a lot of studying of God's word, and we might, you know, go let iron sharpen iron on certain things. But, you know, from me, and I believe you as well, Rick, unless we roll up our sleeves and let other people know that we love them and we love them with the love of Christ and that we want to share what Jesus has done in our lives, because he has transformed us. He's truly brought us from the kingdom of darkness into a kingdom of light. And I think sometimes we lose that message in all that we end up trying to learn in so many other areas. And whether it's with Servolution, where it's boots on the ground here locally where I live, I see some similarities of what Chris has done through the Bucket Ministry. And I think there's some parallelism that we can do here. I've already learned a lot from Chris of how we can improve how we get the gospel out to our local people here when we do go in these homes and we get to help the elderly age at home and our veterans who have homes that need of repair. That is our key that gets us into those homes as well. And it gives us an opportunity to love on these people here locally. So it doesn't always mean that we have to take a trip to Kenya or to Brazil or to the Congo or somewhere. And just many times our neighbors are in need. They need Christ. And you know, Rick, I told you that story early on when we had our first interview. And, you know, whenever I was pastoring at a church here in the mid-cities between Dallas and Fort Worth, and I drove from my house every Sunday 45 minutes to get to that building in order to preach to a group of people who I dearly loved. The Lord redirected us very quickly and brought us very small. And I was asked that question, do you want to be known or do you want to be victorious?
Yes.
And I started to learn what it means to be victorious in the small things. You know, it's the scriptures teach us don't despise the small beginnings. And so that's what Karen and I did. We went to our neighbors that live around us who did not know that I was even a pastor, let alone a Christian. And we started inviting people into our home and just started ministering to them one-on-one. And then the opportunity grew to where I could do that on a little bit larger scale with in our community through Servolution. And then little did I know that the Lord would open up a door for foreign missions through the opportunity that I got to experience this earlier this year. And then by God's providence to meet Chris. And I see this as a global thing now, like never before. And I'm asking the Lord to extend my life as much as he will allow to take the years that he has left for me here on this earth and my journey of Christianity and walking as a follower of Jesus to make an impact greater than what I could ever think or ask. So that's just where I am. And I you know, there's no doubt that I'm so grateful for salvation. And I feel like almost like a new believer. You can't shut me up. I want to talk about Jesus every day.
Yes.
And the fact of the gospel of how life-changing his kingdom is and who he is as king. And like I said, whenever I met Chris, I just said, man, how can I get plugged in the smallest thing? And then with the influences of people that I've got to meet, like with you or others that we've got to know in our circles, and even outside of the people that you don't even know that I know, that I want to get this message out because I think it's something that we as a small scale of, even if it's one bucket a year that you could help out with, what it'll change a life and the opportunity to share Christ. So, Rick, thank you for the opportunity of having me on here, and then the great opportunity you've had given Chris in the Bucket Ministry.
Honestly, I'm yes, honestly the one that's blessed. I was so happy when I learned about this ministry, and I thought, This is something that every one of us could do, even if it's from our home, even if it's, like you said, prayer, intercessory prayer. But also, look, if you go out to dinner every weekend, you could do one less weekend and give water to a family or the village. Is 20
years
enough.
Worth of water.
20 years worth of water for an entire village. If you had, I mean, literally of training, three times of training on how to clean that filter. And then they get the gospel each time someone is there. That is just, it's just an amazing ministry. Christopher, any closing thoughts? And also one last question for you is, what's your goal? Ultimate goal?
You know, that's a rough question for me, Rick, because our team in Rockwall, they ask me this question at the end of every year after we've finished, and what's our goal for next year? And I'm kind of a simpleton. I said I want to help one more family than we did the prior year. I wanted to just keep it real. But honestly, what I'm really hoping for, in addition to that work that's happening in the field, I hope that somebody out there is listening and they're sitting on the couch and they're thinking in themselves, man, I could never do anything like that. I'm an ordinary, untrained, uneducated guy. I'm an Acts 4:13 kind of guy. And I don't know anything about missions. I don't know anything about water. I'm hoping that by listening to this, you understand just how God works through ordinary, uneducated, untrained people. Because when he does, it glorifies him at such a high level. And we see evidence of that throughout scripture. So I hope that this testimony becomes an anthem for that man, that woman sitting at home saying, hey, you know what? I see a problem, but I don't know anything about it. I don't think I can help. And I hope this becomes an anthem by which they can listen to it and go out there and try to find a solution, whatever it is. If it's clean water or if it's homelessness, they try to find a solution and check into the game.
Yes, absolutely. Guys, go and check out the bucketministry.org. Go there and you can read Christopher Beth's story. You can see videos. You can learn more about this bucket ministry. You can learn how you can give clean water and the gospel simultaneously. You can read all about, you can hear the full story, and you can also read about all of the impact that they've had on the globe. Excuse me. Well, Eric, Christopher, it has been an absolute pleasure.
Thank you so much, Rick. Well, I'm grateful.
Thank you, Rick. For you.
Yeah, I really appreciate your time. Look in the show notes, all the links that you need there, guys. And look, $50. Guys, $50, and you can change family's life for 20 years. Amen. If you want to get involved, I imagine that they'll take you in and get to work.
Indeed.
You bet.
All right. Well, thanks so much, guys. And we will talk to you guys again next time. The Burrows of Berea. Peace out.
In the land of the free, where dreams are born and legends are made, an unsettling phenomenon lurks in the shadows. Join us on the Burrows of Berea podcast for our groundbreaking series, All American Cults. Discover the untold stories behind America's most enigmatic cults, from the mesmerizing charisma of their leaders to the unquestioning loyalty of their followers. What drives these communities to the brink of devotion and desperation? We delve into the heart of these cults, exploring their unique rituals, their alluring promises, and the chilling truths that lie beneath. Are these cults a reflection of our deepest fears, or simply a mirror of our society's vulnerabilities? Tune in to the Burrows of Berea podcast, All American Cults.
Coming March 17th, only on Patreon. Visit www.patreon.com/theburrowsofberea for more details. That's www.patreon.com/theburrowsofberea.